pouring up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Yes.
I figured I changed
in stereo, in stereo. What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Know the kid today. His daughter's off from school. He's playing Daddy of the Year right now. But hopefully he'll call up for the Friday forecast. Today,
cross our fingers.
We will cross our fingers. Today is Jared Goff's pro day. And stop the presses. Gibbs, have you heard the good news?
What news?
Are you serious?
Are you serious? You don't know the news?
What are you talking about?
It's about Jared Goff. It's like the biggest news in the world.
Are you talking about a stupid hand size?
Yes.
Jesus.
Nine.
That's how we're gonna start this show.
And 1/8 inches, folks. He grew 1/8 of an inch. And now,
which
now,
could be considered 2/16 by some people's math.
4/32. We could play this game all day long. But what's amazing about it is that now his hands aren't an issue anymore. Not an issue. Derek Carr's hands, 9 1/8. Not an issue anymore.
What were Teddy's?
Over, I believe 9 1/4.
Okay.
Quarter. So not an issue anymore. Now we can all rejoice and move on. He must have gone to that hand stretcher.
The masseuse.
And the ironic thing about it is you and I were talking about it yesterday, and I was talking about it even with Mr. Saunders, the great Al Saunders. When you grip the football, it's your first three fingers that really have more to do with how you throw the football than anything. Maybe your first four, but it's certainly not your pinky.
I got to show you a picture that I found in my archive.
Ooh, yes.
Which is, and it did happen to happen in a preseason football game, so I'm not going to claim that it happened in a regular season, but I sacked Brett Favre. Okay.
Yes, okay.
Sacked Brett Favre in a preseason game. So I was still playing in a preseason game when it was relevant to Brett Favre be playing in a preseason game.
Okay.
So it mattered. And the one thing that shocked me, simply because we're talking Jared Goff, we're talking Carson Wentz, and you and I throw the football consistently every opportunity we have, is look at the mitts and the way in which Brett Favre in this picture is holding the football. Like,
so
in the girth of the football, it's like thumb pinky wrapped around to like the 7th string.
Yeah, his pinky. Where's the? Oh, there's our ball over there. So his index finger high up on the point spreads his hands out pretty good. But even you can see from the stress on his fingers, his pinky really doesn't have much to do with
it.
It's much more. It almost is a better measurement of from here to the end of your ring finger.
Correct.
That would be a better measurement for actually how you would grip, where you can grip the football.
Because there's a heck of a lot more tension that you can create between thumb and ring finger than thumb and pinky.
Yes.
So I just found it very interesting. Again, I just looked at the picture. I went, oh, well, and I was like, Brett Favre. And then I was immediately drawn to Brett Favre's massive grip on the football.
Yeah, big hands. You know what they say, big gloves. So anyway, 9 1/8 inch there for Jared Goff. Oh, the joy. I mean, this hand stuff is so ridiculous. But anyway, they were talking with Daniel Jeremiah earlier about what he needed to show. And Daniel Jeremiah was like, nothing. He doesn't have any holes in his game. I've seen him make every throw. I've seen him drop back from shotgun. I've seen him move in the pocket.
I have a feeling that even outdoors, as opposed to a lot of guys who throw inside,
yes,
you know, because it's a West Coast team,
for example.
Correct, and Cardale most recently, I think today's going to be flawless.
I think he's going to have a good day.
I don't expect anything different, but I think it's just going to be flawless because he is who he is, and he's going to perform the way we think he's going to perform.
Yeah, and as they're getting into it, it's funny. Mike Mayock just saying, you either have pocket awareness or you don't. Jared Goff has it. It's, you know, one of those things. This is where he's going to look. He should look very good in this environment. And it looked a little cloudy out there, a little Bay Area fog as he puts on his cleats, riveting coverage. By the way, I just want to say with all of this stuff, let's just go ahead and move the draft up. And I know that the NFL would say, no, we're loving all this coverage. And we're getting excited over eighths of an inch now. It's getting ridiculous.
What? No, and simply because walking through, you know, time and time again, you know, my postseason, you know, 14-0 national championship game played on January 3rd, 4th, whatever it is, Senior Bowl 2 weeks later, Combine 3 weeks later, Pro Day 2 weeks later. I mean, someone who doesn't play in a bowl game, who can be highly talented, their season can end November 25th.
Yeah.
And they could be an inside linebacker who was a Butkus finalist just like me, but their season ended early. They were a very good player on a bad team.
You were a Butkus finalist?
Yeah. Come on. Butkus. actually,
that's prestigious, by the way, folks. That's right. Top linebacker in the country. Thank you very little.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But it's so. But a guy who played on a bad team, but it was very productive, having from November 25th to February 18th to prepare for his combine or for his pro day on the first coming weeks of March, and then to get ready for the draft is significantly different than someone like the road that I walked.
Sure.
Or anyone that played in this, like Carson Wentz. You know, winning a national championship at the level that he did, going to the Senior Bowl, running and doing everything at the combine, and that's probably a little bit of the reason why, with some of the conversations about his arm not technically being recovered from everything that his arm has gone through, and why his pro day is even what, another week from today, so even another week removed from the combine. So it's hard to develop a standard because everyone's different.
Well, right. Everybody's walking different paths, you say. And by the way, the other thing I'll say is this is totally overrated. Pro days, I think, are very overrated.
I do too.
Especially for these quarterbacks. I think it's the most overrated thing. I think the NFL was wrong when they, instead of watching the tape, the tape is the truth. Here's what Dane Brugler, who we all like on this show, we've had him on many times, he goes, "Few aspects of the draft process are more overrated than scripted quarterback pro days, regardless of if they're positive or negative. Hashtag tape, hashtag draft truth."
Yes,
exactly right.
I agree with that, but I think for...
You don't want to see a red flag.
But you don't want to see a red flag, but from public perception and fan bases, for quarterbacks, now that the combine has become what it has become, you know, and fully televised, and you get to see almost everything that you want to see from the athletes that you want to see it from, for the guys that don't participate or haven't in past years, you always sought out their pro day.
Right.
Like if Goff and Wentz hadn't thrown at the combine, I would imagine Browns fans, 49ers fans, Cowboys fans, Rams fans have this date and are either DVRing or tuned in right now to watch these pro days because they want to see and understand the guy that might be the next face of their franchise.
Absolutely, and I think they should be looking into that. I'm excited about it, and then we'll, you know,
it's on
we'll
our
get
TV.
To see him there. It'll be on our TV. We'll get to see him certainly throw the football around the yard, which will be a lot of fun today out there in the Bay Area. I know Hugh Jackson is there. Andrew Berry, the top talent evaluator for this team, is there, as well as, I've been told, Paul DePodesta will be out there today at the Jared Goff Pro Day as the Browns soak it in and check it out and get ready to roll there for their pro day, you know, circuit, the quarterback circuit, getting ready for this draft. Now, today we have a big show for you, as always on Friday. It is the Friday forecast day, so we'll have that around 2:30. We'll have Hondo Carpenter from SpartanNation.com to talk about Connor Cook. Connor Cook wrote a very interesting article at mmqb.si.com, and we'll talk to him about it. 2 o'clock, Eric Galco, always a great guest, the director of scouting for Optimum Scouting, the lead NFL draft content provider for the Sporting News, is calling in. He's been going to a ton of pro days. He's coming on to promote his draft guide that's out now for purchase, and he'll also give us some of the secrets and the tidbits inside that draft guide there today. So that's everything we got going on today. St. Patty's Day, how was your fiesta yesterday?
It was good. We went to CYC, Cleveland Yacht Club, as guests of friends of ours.
That sounds ballerific.
I mean, it's not so ballerific when it's winterized the way it is, but
okay.
It, you know, midsummer it is ballerific because of some of these places right down on the water and the boats that are down there. It was great. I did the fish and chips. Many did the, you know, the Reuben or the corned beef and cabbage. They had some Irish dancing, which the kids were very into. My son was just so slightly disappointed. The food just comes to the table, and my son is a foodie. He loves
okay.
it. He got the burger with bacon, with cheese. He's stoked and ready to eat this, slam this burger, right?
Okay.
And the Irish dancing starts, and we are like, all the like the women want the kids to go over and watch the Irish dancing. And so he was like so torn to leave his burger. So I thought, I'm like, dude, one more dance and you can go eat, bro. Because he's just like looking at me like rubbing his stomach like I'm so hungry. And he knew that burger was sitting on the table. But all in all, good night. Had a couple Guinnesses, you know, just to celebrate St. Paddy's Day. And then just, you know, went home and did our thing. Nothing spectacular.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
I like it. I ended
had
up
to have
chilling.
Had to have the Irish beer on an Irish, I mean, St. Paddy's Day. Come
it is St. Paddy's Day. I
Hello.
Mean, I feel like it seems like the right thing to do.
I ordered a Guinness and my wife was like, huh? Because it's like Guinness is just not my thing. Dark beer is not my thing. But I'm like, you know, when in Rome.
When in Rome, you must be like a Roman. I ended up just having a bison ribeye, a couple of peeps over, watched the games last night. Horrible showing by Arizona. Just awful. Terrible. Disgraceful.
I think I picked Arizona to lose anyway.
Wichita State should have been favored.
I picked Wichita State. I did.
Yeah.
I lost. I went 14-2 yesterday. I lost the Yale-Baylor game. Which Baylor with those unis trying to be like Oregon should have lost before, you know, even before the tip. So congrats to the Ivy Leaguers.
You did not like those, huh?
No. And then I also lost the, I took USC Providence. It was an 8-9. Those are always a coin flip. And it was a, I think 59-58 or 68-69 game.
Okay.
So I lost. It was a close game. So I'm at 14-2, but I'm ahead in the wild, wild Wilhelms bracket, which I'm proud of right now.
And it's early. It's early.
It's very
but it's
early.
Nice to get out
very early.
To a good start.
It absolutely is.
Yes.
And I mean, you know I'm talking. I'm always talking.
I know. Well, Gibbs, how was your St. Paddy's Day with freedom?
Yeah. It was a little rough.
Still rough?
Things escalated quickly. And today I'm paying for it.
Yes.
And I'm going back out in like 7 hours.
Who were you? And again, who is Gibbs' running mates when you have an opportunity to go
yeah,
so low?
I was actually out last night with my my future father-in-law,
Strong.
Monica's brother, who's always a good time. My buddy Mez and his fiance, they just got engaged.
So Mazel tov.
They met up with
Congratulations.
Us.
Congratulations.
A few other people as well, a couple other buddies.
Nice.
It wasn't supposed to be anything crazy.
And those are always the best nights, though.
Yeah. It was a quality night. I had to walk the mile down the road back to the bar this morning to get the vehicle.
I found...
Took the dog for a nice long walk.
That's great. That is awesome.
Yeah, no.
I found in my day that... Like, again, say there's a Vegas trip that's planned 2 months from now, and you can't screw up Vegas. It's always going to be a blast. But
it's Vegas.
But the anticipation that you create in your mind because of past Vegas trips, because of anything you see about Vegas on television, it's going to be different and over the top and, you know, full-on debauchery, which in some cases it always kind of is.
Sure, sure.
I find myself it always falls a little flat. You know, because Vegas is still just Vegas. You can only do the clubs. You can only win or lose. You know, you can only do so many restaurants. You can only spend so much money. But it's still absolutely amazing. And it's the nights kind of like what Gibbs is talking about, where it just happens. People come over. It's supposed to be something, and it turns into something totally else. Because, say, you want to start doing shots, and then somebody wants to start playing a drinking game, and then next thing you know... You know, you're ordering ridiculous amounts of food and you start messing with the delivery guy and then you drive away in his car or stories like those are the best nights that I found in my day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's last night. So we show up at the bar. Fat Little Buddies in Olmsted Falls is the name of the bar. Great bar. Kind of describes me. I walk in. I've never seen so many people in that bar ever. Like the indoors were packed. They have an outdoor like covered really nice part of the bar that was packed. I'm like, oh god, there's nowhere to sit. And luckily Monica's dad had found a spot at the bar, so we just stood there for like 2 hours. You know, finally a table came open. You know, this is probably about 9:30 when we finally sat down. And like I said, you know, Marshall's wife showed up, Kristen. She's a blast. And you know, next thing you know, there was just a nice group of people. And lots of booze was consumed, lots of beer consumed, and tonight doing it all over again with my high school buddies. So
nice.
Yeah. One of my buddies is in a band. They're playing down at O'Toole's in Lakewood. Billy Likes Soda, the name of the band.
Nice.
It's quality. But I'm like, I'm going to need a nap before that happens.
Soda.
You sound like you are struggling.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Like, I slept probably about 6-7 hours. Wasn't horrible. I went for a mile walk this morning to go get my car. You know,
fresh air helped, right?
Yeah. I should be feeling
better.
Did
you eat any fried food yet today?
I did not.
That's why you're probably still trying to eat healthy stuff.
Yes, I am.
Go Greece. Get it out your system. Get the demons out. Get a KD.
I'm on my second, like, 28-ounce bottle of Gatorade. And I'm just like, Pedialyte. What is going on here?
Pedialyte's the secret.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it.
Pedialyte?
Yeah, I've done
for
that
babies.
Before.
Yeah, for the kids.
For the children.
Or pickle juice.
Ugh, pickle juice. Yes.
Disgusting. All right. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Is there anything Jared Goff needs to show you in this pro day other than now that you know his hands have grown from 9 inches to 9 1/8? Same size hands as Derek Carr.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. We'll hopefully have it in a second, but Hugh Jackson on NFL Network right now with Mike Silver and Alex Flanagan live from Jared Goff's Pro Day. Goff expected to begin throwing about 10 minutes, and here's head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
We got a little insight as to what he is, but he's a tremendous young man, had a tremendous career, has a lot of poise, obviously accuracy, can throw the ball with anybody, make all the throws. But I think you guys all know it's more to that than just playing quarterback. That guy has to be the face of the franchise. So, you know, just kind of want to find out as much as we can and be able to evaluate it all as you go through this process.
How do you, Hugh? Because that's really the intangible piece that's so important. I mean, you've just gone through that with Johnny Manziel, and whether or not that face of the franchise can stand up to that, can withstand the pressure of it. How do you know?
Well, you know, there's never an exact science, but you try to find out as much information as you can. You try to spend as much time as you can and talk to as many people as you can. And then at the end of the day, it really comes down to your gut and what you feel inside about the person. I've been in this long enough to have an understanding of what those guys feel like, act like, look like, talk like. So you got to kind of trust yourself as you go through this process.
We know that Mike Silver is a huge Cal fan. Mike, what is your best selling sentence, if you will, for Hugh as to why he should draft Jared Goff?
Well, a lot of people think Hugh's team is not going to win a game next year. I have enough faith in this man to believe that he would never think that, and it's very early in the offseason. But Hugh knows this. I watched Jared Goff struggle through a 1-11 season his first year, had a horrible game in Oregon where he couldn't throw a wet ball, got pummeled against Stanford and taken out of the game. I don't know if you know this, Alex, but Hugh came very, very close to getting the Cal job going into what would have been Jared Goff's freshman season, could have ended up coaching him these past 3 years, and you know, so I know you've always kept a little bit of an eye on this, but to me, he's the kind of guy who has resilience and never complained, never got down, never showed that you know, a 1-11 season was I'm sure tearing him up inside. Did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, just watching him go through his process here of starting out where things wasn't as good, to watch the team grow over his career and get better and compete better, says a lot about him. You know, the stick-to-itness, the leadership, the ability to have some charisma through it all is really important, and I think he's handled that extremely well. But Mike said something that started this conversation about nobody thinks we're going to win a game.
I know, right?
So I had to back up to that because that's not the case at all. I know there's been a lot of things going on within our organization. I'm very proud of the direction and the things that we're doing. You know, there's a process and a plan to everything you do, and sometimes people don't understand, but I'm okay with that because I know exactly where we're headed and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And I think I can't wait till everybody jumps on the bandwagon when things are going good. I know some things will take time, but I'm not built that way to where I'm comfortable with ever losing. And I don't think anybody in our organization is. So I know we're unturning every rock to improve our football team.
Well,
But, Hugh, there's a lot of pressure with the number two overall pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of have to get it right, right?
Absolutely, and we plan on getting it right. You know, and what right is, we're still in that process, you know, and what's best for us as we continue to move forward. You know, I know everybody wants us to say it's going to be a quarterback, and it may be, but it also may not be, you know, because, again, we have to continue to look at our roster, look at what we're trying to accomplish and do what's best for us and not what's everybody else thinks is best
and,
for us.
And you probably missed a lot of our free agent frenzy coverage. You were under the weather at the time. But, mm-hmm. You know, of course, we talked about the guys you lost, Alex mm-hmm. Mack, Mitchell Schwartz, mm-hmm. Tayshaun Gibson, and Travis Benjamin and others. You said we might not understand the plan, but you understand the plan. Was that a rough couple days for you seeing those guys leave?
Well, you know, Mike, you like to keep them all. You know, in this process, when you have players and guys who have been good players, you want to keep them all. But sometimes it just doesn't work that way. You know, and I think we all understand that just the way the league is set up now, guys have a chance to go do what they want to do. And so I've gone on record saying that if we lost players, we're not going to bury our head in the sand. We're going to do the next best thing. And I don't think people know we've signed four or five guys already right. to our football team to help improve and offset some of those losses. And those things are going to happen. You know, I think at the end of the day, Sashi and Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry and myself, we're all joined at the hip. And we know exactly what this is that we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. And I think we're headed in the right direction. But that being said, we also know that it's a process and it's going to take time to get to exactly where we want to be.
Well, you tell all those Harvard guys that this Cal guy just saw Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz walk out the door. So if you happen to bring in a bear with the second overall pick, that would go a long way.
I'm sure it would. But again, I think you guys all know, and they were great, great players for the Cleveland Browns, and we respect their time and what they did for our organization. But at the same time, we're moving forward, you know, and they've chosen a different route, and we have too. And we need to do that and move forward and feel good about where we're headed.
Hugh Jackson, as we stand by getting ready to watch this young man, Jared Goff, throw, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing what you do with that number two overall pick.
Thank you.
Back to you guys, Andrew.
That was Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. A lot of praise for certainly the young quarterback who's about to begin throwing, Jared Goff, talking about the plan that he, Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry are implementing here with the Browns going forward. The goal is to win, build it the right way, as we talked about, not patchwork, build the foundation.
Yeah, and just as a former player, what I absolutely loved about Hugh Jackson's comments was Silver's question and how he led with, you may not win, and then went in about number two and Goff and face of the franchise. And you could, and you've gone in so many different directions with that question. Hugh answered the second part, which is obviously the most recent thing on his ear, but made sure he'd cycled back and talked about not winning a football game and talking about the process and how that in this building is not anything of thought, even though the national perspective, because of what has happened in the last, you know, week to 10 days via free agency and so on and so forth, is the depiction that people have of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and I thought it was good stuff about the, you know, when you talk about the free agents saying that you want to keep them all, but it doesn't work that way. We're moving forward. They've chosen a different route. We have to as well, and that's what the Browns have done. They brought in some people, DeMario Davis, Raheem Moore, obviously not guys on that level, but that's part of what they're trying to do is find undervalued assets out there that they feel they can maximize with great coaching with this Hugh Jackson and his staff here with the Browns. Again, Jared Goff about to start throwing out there at his pro day in Cal. A lot of people on hand. Apparently it's one of the most heavily attended pro days in a long time. And it's interesting that the hype has been all Wentz from the media, and all of a sudden Goff's starting to pick up some steam. Matt Miller said that he talked to an NFL general manager who compared Goff's football IQ and intangibles to the player most considered the holy grail of quarterback prospects. He said, quote, he's the smartest quarterback since Andrew Luck. Someone is going to trade up to take him number one overall. That's what one NFL general manager told him this week about Cal quarterback Jared Goff. Stop it!
You're right in saying that, and you're right in being upset. And even
especially now that he has 9 1/8-inch hands. I mean, it's almost a lock that somebody's going to trade up.
Right. Well, and the owners' meetings going on. So many of the decision makers, you know, the billionaires and those conversations and the Tennessee Titans' willingness and openness to trade out of that number one spot, acquire assets, very similarly to the Cleveland Browns on wanting to acquire young talent to build a foundation with and win not just this year, but win in the next 3 to 5 years. So that, I mean, there is some likelihood behind that.
There is. Getting excited. People are getting fired up now. It's about to be that time. I know Gibbs waiting with bated breath. It's going to be very good. And I like what he said about Jared Goff. Poise, accuracy, in the pocket, comfortable. That's what you're looking for. And it's starting to come out, the processing. You and I were talking about it, and we'll talk about it later in the show. But think about the great quarterbacks of all time. And what did they do the best? Just think about that. We'll talk about it as the show goes on. Now, we are going to talk about another quarterback prospect. Should the Browns not take one at number two, maybe at number 32, Connor Cook could be on the board. We're going to talk to Hondo Carpenter from SpartanNation.com about Connor Cook, who had an opportunity to give a first-person account about his own leadership and obviously why he thinks he's the kind of guy the team should be going for in the draft. That'll be coming up right after this.
In the morning, gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs, gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal, seeing everything, the time is going, ticking on and on, everybody's rushing, gotta get down to the bus stop.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Let that roll. Rebecca Black, this was internet famous. This was like viral before things went
viral.
Here it comes,
things.
Here it comes.
There's a lot of
Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend partying, getting down on Friday. You need to get the Zack Ryder version
There's
of this
a
song.
Lot of internet sensations with things that happen that you never ever want to hear about or hear of.
No,
again.
This is the worst. But the Zack Ryder version of it is great. He did it. It was a special WrestleMania. Snoop Dogg interrupted him. It was fantastic. That's
did
great.
You tell him it stinks?
Oh, he knows it's so bad. That's why
God,
it was done.
It's terrible.
That sounds great. Find the Zack Ryder version.
Oh,
so much better.
Don't.
Zack Ryder is
horrible.
His hit song Hosky
oh my God.
Made it to the top of the iTunes charts. It's all true. About his ex-girlfriend, who then he got back with, even though he'd written a song about her called Hosky. But it happens to be, I asked Arden, my daughter, to name her three favorite musical artists. Taylor Swift, she told me, is so last year. So she was over Taylor Swift. She went with Selena Gomez, and then Hosky, she calls it.
What, and again.
Hosky came in the top three.
I went to the father-daughter dance with my Girl Scouts, you know, with my daughter. And they're, you know, Girl Scout, my daughter's a Daisy, but there's Girl Scouts that are there 10, 11, 12 years old. The DJ's taking requests. And these girls are belting out these songs by these artists.
Uh-huh.
And if they only knew what the words, like, and the premise of why some of these songs were written
sure.
between, you know, cheating and infidelity and, you know, all these other things, it's like they have no idea. They just belt them out because so-and-so says they should be singing it. It's the worst.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell my daughter to turn off the radio.
Yes, indeed. All right. We do have a guest with us, and we are going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in Hondo Carpenter from SpartanNation.com. Hondo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. If you hear some roaring in the background, I'm here in St. Louis at the NCAA tournament, and Dayton and Syracuse are going out.
Oh, yeah, the Dayton Flyers. Yes, indeed. From Ohio, taking on the Cuse, the Orange. Hondo, let's talk a little about Connor Cook. Had an opportunity to present kind of his side of things. At Monday morning quarterback about the leadership, et cetera. In your opinion, why was Connor Cook not a captain, and is this a big red flag?
First of all, he wasn't a captain because his teammates didn't vote him one, and he wasn't on the leadership council, and to be a captain, you have to be on the leadership council, and then so he wasn't voted by his teammates. I said earlier in the year when it came about, it was not a big deal for the Michigan State football team, but it was going to be a big deal when you get to the NFL because I had an NFL scout tell me in college, that's run by the coaches. So it doesn't really matter who the captains are because coaches are so dominant, whether it's football or basketball at the collegiate level. But he said it's going to be something he's going to have to talk to us about in the NFL because regardless, your quarterback is the face of your franchise. I mean, look at Johnny. He didn't even play, and he was the face of the Browns last year. And that's just the reality of the situation, not saying it's fair. So it didn't matter at Michigan State. I think it's something that's going to have to be addressed at the next level.
Do you, after covering him, have concerns about his leadership ability?
I had no concerns about him as far as at Michigan State. I think that really the team is voting one. I think that would be something that would be a red flag.
lost him?
Yeah.
Gibbs, I think, unfortunately,
the power of the arms, but I live in the that
I agree with everything he just said.
Unfortunately, we lost Hondo at the basketball.
He's got to be in an arena,
there.
Like in a metal structure.
Yeah, and there's horrible service in arenas now. There's too many cell phones sucking on that service. What did you think about Connor Cook? I know he's made the comments, supposedly he doesn't want to play in Cleveland and this and that. I mean, don't you think if you were that good, is it surprising to you that he wasn't a captain? I mean, you know how that works. What do you think of that?
Yes.
Do you make of it?
I definitely do. I think everyone talks about Connor Cook. They talk about his record at Michigan State. So he's a winner. And when you think quarterback, you think leader. And I think as you look at even what Urban Meyer has done, naming JT Barrett and Raekwon McMillan, the quarterback of your offense, the middle linebacker of your defense, captains already. It was like we beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. Those guys were captains like a week later. And that's just how quickly, you know, a coach turns the page. And I think understanding what Mark D'Antonio, you know, coming from the Jim Tressel tree, is trying to create there from a culture standpoint, from a all right, Hondo's back.
Hondo is back. Hondo.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hondo, are you there?
I'm here. I'm right here.
Okay. We lost. Yeah, I guess the service probably not great in an arena as it might turn out with everybody in there. But anyway, you initially, we weren't able to hear your answer on Connor Cook and the leadership thing. So I guess we can try to get that again if you want to dive into that briefly. But basically, you know, is this something do you think that really is hurting his draft stock? And was it shocking to you that he was not the captain?
No, it was not a shocking. As a matter of fact, I said 2 years in a row he wouldn't be. Before the voting even took place, it didn't shock me. And I think it is a real issue because NFL teams are asking about it. A lot of them want to know about it. And when you see the draft experts coming out saying that, you know, they're hearing from people that it's a concern. I know that, you know, those of us who are on beat, you guys know this, we hear a lot from NFL teams. And I've had several ask me, what do you think? And, you know, it's interesting. It's clearly an issue on people's minds. But at the end of the day, if you saw his pro day the other day, the young man can spin it. He's going to get his shot. But I'm going to tell you this, that if Phillip Rivers can have a place in this league, there's a place for Connor Cook.
Really? Okay. And I guess I'm asking a question along those same lines. And I guess Jared Goff having his pro day today out at Cal. Carson Wentz, I believe, is next week at that point. Connor Cook having his. Do you believe that finding that franchise quarterback, as many teams try to do year after year in the NFL draft, that there could be potentially a run on quarterbacks? And also, I guess, what type of disparity do you think there is between a Connor Cook and Carson Wentz to the type of level that there is with Connor Cook thus far in his career at Michigan State?
You know, I think that's a great question, and I don't want to answer that for one reason. I haven't seen Wentz enough to sound to be intelligent, and I don't want to insult you guys.
I don't think anybody has, for that matter.
Right. So, but I want to be courteous of you guys. You have a great show, and I greatly respect it, and it's not fair to your listeners to comment if I don't know what I'm commenting about. But I will tell you this. Every game of Connor's, his entire career, practices, and everything else, he can spin the ball. And but there's a, you know, you have to ask yourself about a lot of different questions with a quarterback, especially at the NFL level. And I think that's where teams have to have answers, and that's where teams are going to spend a lot of time with Connor and find out where he is and where his mindset is. Here's what I would say, though. The impression that I get is if you're going to pick anything in the list of the position, you can't be wrong in the first round. And if you're a team that isn't 100% sold on Connor, I think he slips. I think there are teams, and I will say this up front, I'm not insulting you guys because I think the Lions are right there with them, but there are teams that consistently fail in the first round. And rather than going and looking at the teams that consistently succeed, I think that's a concern. And I think that unless somebody is convinced that Connor, you know, doesn't have those issues, which that's up to them, I don't know, I think he'll slip a little bit. But that, you know, the good thing about, you know, players, if you have talent, you know, your talent will make room for itself, and you can have a long career. It's just amazing to me, because everywhere you go, it's the topic. I mean, I'm here in St. Louis, and I've had probably 10 or 15 reporters from around the country at NFL cities ask me a couple questions about him. And I'm like, why? What are you hearing? They're like, yeah, we're hearing concerns with that. So it's definitely that is a concern. I'm not saying it's a germane concern, but I think it's a concern NFL teams are addressing, and that's why it's out there. I can tell you this. I've been to Connor's home. I know his family. I have, you know, I like Connor's family. I like Connor, and he's a winning quarterback. The rest, that's an NFL team's decision before you invest $40 million in a guy. But I think it's a fair question to ask, and I think it's something he's going to have to answer.
I think you're absolutely right. And just to, for me personally, you know, being at Ohio State and understanding the, you know, Mark D'Antonio and what he did, I played for him at Ohio State when he was the coordinator there, and understanding, you know, what, how much talent he's producing there. Walk me through where you feel like some of the other prospects are going to land. The Conklin kid, you know, he's one of the top offensive linemen. Is he a top 15 pick? Is how does Shalik Calhoun do at his workout the other day, and can he sneak into the first round?
First of all, I think that's a great question. And if you played for Mark, you understand there is nothing more important to Mark than the relationship with players, and it has nothing to do with football.
That's right.
Jack Conklin is one of the – I'll tell you what, I'm close to Jack, and if I would love for him to date my daughter. That's the kind of young man he is. He's quiet. He's like a lot like Joe Thomas. He's not impressed with himself. I know his family very well. His best friend is his sister, who he idolizes. They're close. He's no nonsense. It's go to class and just kill people on the football field. High character kid. He's a can't miss. I don't think he'll get past Indianapolis in the NFL first round. I know that Seattle is in love with him, but that's a kid that comes in. There's going to be no issues. He's the pick that I talked about. I talked with an NFL general manager, and he said to me something I'll never forget, but he said, you don't experiment in the first round. And he goes, we'll trade out of the first round before we'll take a guy that we think, you know, isn't 100% guaranteed. And he happens to be from a club who has one of the highest success rates in the first round. Jack Conklin's one of those guys. You'll plug him in, he'll be there 12 years. He can play on the right or the left side. If you watched him against Alabama, go back and watch the tape in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, he dominated. You saw him put, you know, guys are draft picks from Alabama right on their can. And he's just a lunch pail, hard-working guy that's going to be there for 12 years and give you no trouble. Shalik Calhoun, he can put his hand in the dirt. I think he'll be able to transition to standing up. But because you don't know, if I think you can't pick him in the first round. You just can't experiment in the first round. That being said, there's going to be somebody who will fall in love with him, so maybe he does slip back up into the first if they're a 3-14. But his hand in the dirt, I think the biggest question with Shalik is, he has to play every down. He's not lazy. I'm not implying that, and I know him very well. I've watched every game of him. I'm close to him, know him well. But there were times that teams would double-team him and triple-team him, and people would say, well, why has he disappeared? But the good news is NFL people watch film, whereas fans don't, and they would understand and see that. I'm going to give you a couple names, guys, that people aren't talking about. A guy, Joel Heath, he's a 6'7", 293-pound defensive tackle that can run like the wind. He's probably going to be 7 to 8% body fat at that size. You know, he looks like a chunk of meat. And in a very deep draft, he may go late. He may go a fifth rounder, sixth rounder, maybe a free agent just because there's so many defensive tackles. But he's going to play 8-9 years in the NFL. He is a great one. He's just a solid guy. Not going to be any trouble. He's very much a strong person of faith. Wants to be a minister when he's done playing football. He's a guy that can slide right in there. Already married, just a solid guy. I'm going to give you another name, Jack Allen. He was an All-State wrestler in Illinois. He's a Spartans All-American center. Another guy. Cut and just play. In fact, I tell me they would love Allen. Imagine if you're a team with major issues on the offensive line, you can get a left tackle, All-American, and Jack Conklin, and go in later in the draft and pick up a Jack Allen, who's an All-American center, and there's 40%. They're used to playing together. So I think there's a lot of them. A guy, Lawrence Thomas, another guy to tackle. There's a lot of talent. But I'm going to give you one guy who made a ton of money at the MSU Pro Day. His name is Aaron Burbridge, a wide receiver.
I was just going to ask you about him.
Yeah. He did not drop a ball. He made some absolutely unbelievable catches. And one scout who was there at Pro Day said to me, he said, that young man just made a bundle of money. And he goes, I like a guy like that. He goes, Connor Cook had a good day, but he made Connor look really good on some catches. And so I would say if there was an MVP of Pro Day, it had to be Aaron Burbridge.
Talking with Hondo talk from SpartanNation.com. Hondo, I want to go back to when you talked about Connor Cook and Phillip Rivers. What did you mean in terms of the similarities between those two?
Well, I've had a couple people say, you know, Phillip Rivers is probably not the most popular guy in his team. And my whole point was not that Connor was the popular guy. But, you know, Phillip Rivers is an example that you don't have to be the most popular guy in your team and be voted everything by your team and make a ton of money and succeed in the NFL for years. That was not a slam on Connor. You know, if you're not a captain of your team, you don't even deserve to play in the NFL. And I'm like, well, what about Phillip Rivers, who I don't know very many people that have played with him who even like him, but the guy has a place in the league. So, again, I was not making a reference to Connor. I'm just saying I was using that in response to his critics, that if there's room in a league for Phillip Rivers, the guy not that popular in his locker room, then I there is no issues with Connor.
All right, Hondo, appreciate the time. Get back to the hoops. Thanks for the insights on Connor Cook and the rest of the Michigan State Spartans. Of course, Hondo Carpenter for SpartanNation.com, our guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, when
come on,
we come
Dayton.
Back.
I need Dayton to come back from this double-digit deficit. Come on,
the
Dayton.
The Flyers. Here it is, Goff's workout starting with a slant behind the receiver. Take him off your board. We'll be back with more. 216-578-0850 on CBD.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on the hook outside your door.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, my goodness. What a show he's putting on right now. These pro days are hilarious. Ron Jaworski, good, solid mechanic, size, and accuracy, all things I see when watching Jared Goff on tape, says Jaws. Big fan of Jared's.
There you go, as are you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You keep good company there, Nathan.
I'm bummed out that, I mean, we're on the radio right now. This is when we need...
You have a television on. You have eyes.
I want to hear Mike Mayock. I want to hear him praise Jared Goff. And this, that, and what have you. 216-578-0850.
We're taking Jalen Ramsey anyway.
216-578-0850. Dan in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
There's a comment that I've heard made several times, and you guys have agreed with it. And the comment was, well, if the two quarterbacks from last year's draft were in this draft, they would be better than either of these two guys.
Mariota would be close for me with Goff. And, in fact, some people actually have Goff rated higher than Mariota, which is starting to come out. But, yes.
Gotcha. So my point is I think that because of that, we do need to take another quarterback later. I'm not saying early, but, you know, if there's somebody sitting there at that compensatory pick at 4, I think it would be good to take Cardale Jones or Hackenberg if they're sitting there, one of those two guys. And if nobody else, you know, I wouldn't take anybody else there, but then I would take somebody, you know, fifth or sixth round just to have a project, you know. And of all those guys, I think Cardale Jones is the guy that jumps out to me with the physical traits that he has.
Sure. I think that if you're looking at a second quarterback and somebody could be a little bit of a project, Cardale Jones certainly fits that bill. Brandon Doughty's a guy I like would be later in the draft. But anyway, right now, Jared Goff's Pro Day workout is live at Cal on NFL Network.
More importantly, I found the Zach Ryder Sings Friday.
Oh, God, it's so good. We'll come back.
Next.
Here it is.
Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Looking forward to the weekend.
Then he got attacked.
By who?
I don't remember who attacked him.
Where was this at?
It was malicious.
Where was it at?
This was at WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta, Georgia. WrestleMania headlined, main evented by The Miz, Cleveland's own, from Parma.
It's all not real. You know that, right? It's scripted.
What do you mean?
Wrestling's not real.
What are you talking about? They go out there and they compete. Just
whoever,
like, just
could,
like you
they
do.
Could, they could
like
put
you
a hat
in the NFL.
They could pick a hat out and go, "Oh, we're going to randomly headline WrestleMania 37. It's going to be Triple H again."
Yeah, but does it matter if you don't know? It's like watching a show. It's like, do you watch any TV?
Nope.
You watch no TV?
None.
Zero.
I watch sports.
You
and
like
you know
movies.
What? I don't know the outcome.
You like movies, but you don't know the outcome same as in wrestling. You don't know the outcome.
It is a male soap opera.
But you know The Miz, so you know the outcome.
He would never tell me the outcome
don't
ahead of time.
It's all right.
I don't know, because then it would take you out of your...
But he's going to go, "Hey, I'm going to be the headliner." That's like North Carolina 2 months ago, and we're going to be a number one seed. Why do I even need to play the rest of the...
Well, you know,
I'm going to rest myself because I know I'm going to be the headliner at WrestleMania, so I might have to play a couple basketball games in the next...
You only knew he'd be the headliner because he was the champion. And that's just the way it works.
Which
they
was
build
also
it.
Scripted.
Yeah, nobody's... Who's arguing that?
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying it's fact.
Yeah, but it's just like a person gets chosen to be the lead in a movie because they are deemed at that point to be the hottest actor or actress.
So wrestling is acting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very
you
physical
just said yes.
acting.
You
yeah.
just said, okay, it is. It's fine.
I mean, I would imagine that it hurts a little bit more than acting.
It does.
When you fall off of a ladder through tables and things of this nature.
It happens once a...
Will happen at WrestleMania.
Right. But it doesn't happen every Monday Night Raw. It doesn't happen every...
But there are people get put through tables a lot.
Yeah. Sure. And those dull nails...
Oh, Jared Goff throws the 25-yard dig with grace.
I thought we were going to put a lot of stock into Pro
and
days.
Panache. I sound like I'm being serious right now? I think this is ridiculous. I'm a big Jared Goff fan, but his Pro Days, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing. The guy can obviously throw the football. I mean, I think that there...
So can you.
There's no... Well, thank you. Thank you.
Drop the mic. You're done for the week.
There you go. Actually, my week's over in an hour and 3 minutes.
I know. I just got a tweet that said Goff has good feet, small legs. Could be a problem in the AFC North. His small legs.
He's got slender frame.
Was Andy Dalton successful in the AFC North last year?
Yes.
When are we going to realize that the AFC North?
Andy Dalton's yoked
name
up.
Name one team. Name one team that lines up and plays smash mouth football in the AFC North.
Cleveland Browns.
We tried.
And
we
what
failed.
Happened?
But the AFC North is actually a division of spread offenses that throw the football.
It is.
At the end of the day, it's true. It's not the old black and blue. 216-578-0850, hour number two. We'll ask a guy who's a scout when we come back from Optimum Scouting. Eric Galco will be with us here on CBD.